started to pray and prepare my heart for the message. I started looking at scriptures. And my job is to expand scriptures, to explain what they mean. But today I just felt that instead of me saying anything, we're just going to quote scriptures. We've actually put 100 scriptures together. It's like a collage. It's going to start in the book of Genesis, and it's going to come to today. We're actually going to be preaching the gospel by quoting scriptures only. So I hope you can follow this. Most of the scriptures are from the New Living Translation of the Bible. One or two are from the NIV version. And there's a couple even from the Old King James version. And you'll pick that up straight away. The title of this message is Nothing's Bigger. Who knows that we've got two buzzwords in the church at the moment. One is big and the other is connect. Big. And we're just going to be running with that word for a while. But there's nothing bigger. There's nothing bigger than the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's what we're going to do. And, you know, we're not even putting the scriptures on the screens. We've got some pictures. But you might want to even close your eyes if you want to. And just let the word of God wash over you. And so, Father, we just come before you right now. And, Father, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that the gospel is good news and there's nothing bigger than that. And Lord, we just pray for all of us today, whether we're familiar with the Bible or not familiar with the Bible, that Lord, as we read these scriptures, they will inspire faith in our hearts today. We pray the presence of God upon us all in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Are you ready, Rochelle?
Yes.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
And God saw that it was very good.
Then God blessed them.
The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die."
The ancient serpent, called the devil, or Satan, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels.
The serpent one day asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?"
The woman said, "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, if you do, you will die."
"You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman.
The woman was convinced, so she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave it to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too.
They suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. The man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about the garden. So they hid from the Lord God. Then the Lord God said and called out to the man, "Where are you?"
Adam replied, "I was walking in the garden. So I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid."
Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?"
"The serpent deceived me. That's why I ate," the woman said.
Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed.
And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel.
To the man he said, since you ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you.
By the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return.
When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death.
And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife.
So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden.
Eve became pregnant and gave birth to Cain.
Why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. You will be accepted when you do what is right. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master.
God said, therefore, you must be holy because I am holy.
And without holiness, no one could ever see the Lord.
Then the people began to multiply on the earth.
The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. So the Lord was sorry he had made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart.
The Lord said, I will wipe this human race from the face of the earth.
But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
So God said to Noah, build a large boat from cypress wood and be sure to take on board enough food for you and your family and all the animals. So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him.
He went on board the boat, he and his wife and his sons and their wives, and with them were various kinds of animals.
After 7 days, the waters of the flood came and covered the earth.
And everything that breathed and lived on dry land died.
God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him in the boat.
And at last the earth was dry.
Then God said, leave the boat, all of you, you and your wife and your sons and their wives.
Then God blessed Noah and he told him, be fruitful and multiply.
And then God said, when I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and you and I will remember my covenant with you. Never again will the flood waters destroy all life.
Many children were born to them after the great flood.
The Lord scattered them all over the world.
When the Most High assigned the lands to the nations, when he divided up the human race, he established the boundaries of the peoples.
Yet all people, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own way.
No one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one.
For everyone has sinned.
For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule.
For the wages of sin is death.
God used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed.
I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books.
Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy.
O Lord, I prayed, have mercy on me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you.
I know that my Redeemer lives.
Amen. For your Creator is your Redeemer, the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you back from your grief.
The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love.
The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercy never ceases. Therefore, I will hope in Him.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him will be saved.
Amen. For she will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and with all the people.
John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
And Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly."
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. And Jesus said this to indicate how he was going to die.
For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come.
The devil prompted Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus.
And Judas arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs.
So Judas came straight to Jesus. "Greetings, Rabbi," he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him.
And at that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled.
They took Jesus to the high priest's home. Inside, the leading priests and entire council were trying to find evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they couldn't find any.
Finally, some men stood up and gave false testimony.
The high priest tore his clothes to show his horror and said, "You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" "Guilty," they all cried.
Jesus' trial before the high priest ended in the early hours of the morning. Then he was taken to the headquarters of Pilate, the Roman governor.
Pilate asked, "What is your charge against this man?"
"We wouldn't have handed him over to you if he weren't a criminal," they retorted.
Then Pilate called for Jesus to be brought to him.
Then Pilate went out again to the people and told them, "He is not guilty of any crime. Would you like me to release the King of the Jews?" But they shouted back, "No, not this man. We want Barabbas."
Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head.
Then Jesus came out, and Pilate said, "Behold, the man."
But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!"
So Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified.
So they took Jesus away. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him.
When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them.
Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing."
At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Then Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it and held it up to his lips.
And when Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and released his spirit.
When they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out.
But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed.
Yet the Lord laid on him the sin of us all.
There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends.
Jesus gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross.
For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
He too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil.
God cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross.
Adam brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through Jesus Christ.
No longer will there be any curse.
Amen. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved.
Now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He will wipe away every tear, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, this scripture is beautiful. We just read 100 verses from the Bible. And it's funny, when we finished this, I said to Rochelle, I think we could do this all again with completely different verses and tell the same story. Because the gospel's all the way through the Bible, isn't it? You know. Just a couple of remarks and then we're going to have communion. Is that everybody, the cross is a center of all human history. And the apostle said this, but we preach Christ crucified. To some that sounds ridiculous, but to those that are called, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. We preach Christ crucified. And the truth is, there's only one way to be right with God, and that's through the cross and Jesus' atoning death on the cross. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Just a bit of a clarity as well. We keep using the word death, die, death. Sounds a little bit morbid, doesn't it? But it's a reality of life, by the way. Who knows, everybody in this room is going to die. Yeah. When we think of death, we make a mistake. We think death is now that somebody no longer exists. The Bible never views death as a person ceasing to exist. Death in the Bible, whenever you read the word death and you read all these scriptures, it's separation. Separation. So one day my time will come. Who knows when that's going to be? Maybe when I turn 80? 85? 90? Who knows? I don't know. But when I go, I won't cease to exist. It just means I'm separated from you for a while until you come and join me. Amen. And so there's that separation. And when it talks about death with God, referring to God, it means we're separated from God. And we can only come alive to God when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way to know God other than through the cross of Jesus Christ. Who understands what I'm saying? And so today, you might not know God, but you're actually, if that's true, you're actually dead to God. That's what the Bible's talking about. But the good news is you can know God by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. So, Father, I just pray with this congregation. I think most people here understood everything that I said. But for some, maybe it was just new. Never thought of about death like that before. And I just pray, Lord, as we just have communion right now, that it will be really powerful. And that, Lord, I pray for people who are not alive to you, that while they participate in communion today, you'll do a work in their heart, open their eyes, and may they know Almighty God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. And everybody said, amen.